Good afternoon, good morning. This is Mark Johnson from Loyalty 360. Hope everyone's happy, safe, and well. I wanted to welcome you to another edition of Loyalty Live. In this series, we speak with leading agencies, technology partners, and consultants in customer channel and brand loyalty about the technology trends and best practices that impact a brand's ability to drive unique experiences, enhance engagement, but most importantly, impact customer loyalty. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Patricia Camden and Michael Anders. They are loyalty leaders for EY, Ernst & Young. Welcome, Patricia and Michael. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having us. We're thrilled to be here, Mark.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. First off, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your current role with EY, and a little bit about your background? It'd be great to know. Let's start with Patricia.
Sure, absolutely. So Michael and I co-lead our loyalty offering for the firm. My background is in customer experience, marketing, transformation, and of course, loyalty. I joined the firm going on 7 years ago now, after 25 years in the digital agency space, where I was always focused on how do you develop that deep understanding of consumer insight and translate that into activations that make them do the things you want them to do. Michael.
Perfect. Michael Anders, I'm a principal at EY based out of San Francisco, similar to PC. I came over to EY about 7 years ago. As we talked about, our focus is very much on kind of what we refer to as commercial strategy elements. And so, loyalty, pricing, marketing, those sorts of topics are where I spend my time and have been in kind of consulting broadly for the past, it's one of those things you hate to say out loud, roughly quarter century. And I came over to EY about 7 years ago.
Perfect. Michael, for those who may not be familiar, can you give us a little kind of a brief overview of how EY works with brands to enhance their customer experience and loyalty offerings?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we work with them kind of on a number of, on a number of kind of different, topics that can be from kind of the strategy and vision to things like, program design, business case evaluation, et cetera. And then we can follow that all the way through till things like experience design and actually, development, et cetera, things like, mobile apps as well. And then, one of the other things, obviously, that we're obviously, kind of well designed to do is also to think about not only some of those design and front end elements, but also some of the back end things around finance and accounting, tax, data protection, et cetera, and other aspects that are kind of critical to making sure that the overall kind of loyalty programs function.
Patricia, when you look at customer loyalty, how would you describe the state of customer loyalty today? What are you seeing?
Yeah, this is a great question, an incredibly dynamic space that we are in currently. If I were to choose one word, I would say that loyalty is evolving. And evolving in every possible way, from customer expectations to corporate recognition of loyalty as an increasingly important driver of business growth and everything in between. We have a team inside EY called the Loyalty Observatory that tracks hundreds of loyalty programs globally. And we follow program changes, we look at the mechanics, we look at the business impact, we look at the growth, consumer sentiment, and everything in between. I can tell you this team has never been busier in tracking everything going on in loyalty. Some of the most exciting things are to see programs transform from being these, more old school transaction-based programs to being dynamic, relationship-focused, ecosystem approach. And personalization is really at the heart of all of this change. We think loyalty is no longer just about collecting points, although recent research tells us that is still important, but it's about deeply understanding customer needs and preferences across the journey. When we see programs that are successful, what we see is agility and a customer-centric approach and the ability to continually adapt. So it's this time of evolution that we think is really exciting for loyalty and what we think really encompasses loyalty today.
Okay. Michael, when you look at some of the challenges that you see with customer loyalty offerings, we actually just did a research study on next generation customer loyalty and the opportunities, challenges. It's a very unique time. What do you think some of the biggest challenges that you see with the clients that you work with pertaining to customer loyalty is?
Yeah, I mean, I think, part of it is making sure that there's good alignment between, the strategy and the technology, right? And really thinking through, and, as Patricia mentioned, right, what we're seeing is also an acceleration in kind of the speed of change, right? The number of times that we're seeing clients actually look to refresh or kind of change, elements of their loyalty program is speeding up. I mean, we're seeing some of those kind of refreshes happening, you know, every kind of 2, 3, 4 years, you know, on average and in significant ways, right? Whether that's, you know, kind of a, you know, refreshing mobile apps or changes to the technology environment, you know, kind of whole scale changes to the program, et cetera. And, you know, a lot of that I think goes along with, and we just kind of completed, you know, consumer, you know, kind of our loyalty market study that completed late last year. And, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, you know, is kind of challenges from the consumer side is, you know, from a customer perspective, there's a lot of complaints around, okay, how do I actually engage with the program? And so, you know, one of the challenges are that, you know, there's too many purchases required to redeem an award, right? So making sure that there are, you know, ways to make programs, again, as we talked about, more accessible, more personalizable, et cetera, and really make sure that, as we talked about, of that personalization, that it's really aligned with things that are going to excite and kind of motivate, you know, customers and consumers as well.
Okay. When you look at customer loyalty, definitely evolving, next generation customer loyalty, AI, personalization at scale, all of those are front and center. Patricia, how do you think that customer loyalty is changing?
Yeah, it's interesting. Loyalty programs are, they're evolving, but they're also becoming commonplace. It kind of seems like everything has a loyalty program these days. Even I saw over the weekend, one of the battery companies is launching a loyalty program. And from our research, we recently did a market study as well, and we talked to both consumers as well as corporate decision makers. And no surprise, consumers are enrolling in lots of different loyalty programs across sectors, and many times within the same product category, 2, 3, 4 loyalty programs. So loyalty has started to become integrated into the fabric of a customer's life cycle. And this is a trend that we expect to continue. From our research, most consumers are in at least 1 to 5 loyalty programs. In that 25 to 44 age group, they're more likely to be part of 10 loyalty programs. They way over index on loyalty program usage compared to other cohorts. And 66% of the folks that we surveyed reported being members of loyalty programs of 2 or more different brands in the same category. So it's more important than ever that brands differentiate and expand their rewards to engage with members and to reinforce the value that they receive. But a lot of programs give the same things, right? You get a discount, you get reward points. Some are moving more toward exclusive content and services. People expect those discounts. They're still important. We can't underestimate the importance of saving money. In our research, time and time again across cohorts, it comes out as being important. But today's customers want more. They really crave a sense of belonging and purpose from the brands they're loyal to. So the traditional loyalty program focused on frequency and volume is giving away to more nuanced approaches that consider a customer's entire relationship with the brand. So including their interactions, their personal values, their overall experience. So in response to all this, we see loyalty programs evolving to increasingly incorporate elements of experiential rewards. We've all heard that. Community involvement and social responsibility. And we do expect these sorts of nuanced programs to continue over time.
Okay. If you could recommend one thing that would help a brand in their customer loyalty journey, what would that be?
This is a super easy answer because it undergirds so many of the next gen loyalty programs. Personalization is the number one thing that we would say is important for a brand to start to develop muscle around. In our research, 73% of consumers said being able to select my own rewards is moderately or very important. 72% said having rewards tailored to me is very important. 68% said I want to select my own channel preferences. You get the idea here. People want to be in control of their relationship with a brand. And interestingly, most consumers are also comfortable sharing their data as long as there's a clear value exchange, as long as there's, I call it personalization with purpose. Gather my information, feel free to take it, but I need to feel like I'm getting something back with that. We were surprised to see that 87% of consumers are at least somewhat comfortable sharing data. Now, what's interesting is when we then surveyed corporate decision makers that have control over loyalty budgets and programming, personalization and data capture are lower priorities for investment among companies. In fact, less than half, it was around 42%, said that they are focused on personalization and having those customized touch points. So there definitely is a need for what we're investing in and what we're building from a brand perspective to more readily answer what our consumers are asking for.
Okay. When you look at how you help customers in their customer loyalty journey, Michael, you know, how may that have changed over the last couple of years, going through COVID, coming out of COVID? How are you helping customers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. I mean, a lot of the things that we've talked about are, you know, the things that you would imagine were important pre-COVID are still important, you know, post-COVID in terms of, you know, making sure there's, you know, real connections. I think what we've seen probably in the last couple of years is more of a focus on how do we, you know, how are we really using it as a driver of growth? How are we using that to really drive, you know, deeper customer relationships, kind of an overall sense of, you know, intimacy, et cetera. But that's also come down in terms of, okay, how do we kind of audit it? How do we, you know, how do we prove out, you know, the fact that the loyalty programs and what we've put in place is actually working for us? And so I think there's also been, you know, very much a focus on kind of, you know, the ROI of that and thinking through how that's kind of impacting things like customer lifetime value and whether or not it's driving the behaviors again that, you know, everybody hopes aspirationally when they, you know, when they launch or refine a loyalty program that it's doing. I think there's been a little bit more focus on, you know, that sounds great. Let's kind of measure and refine. And I think also kind of improve the frequency with which we kind of, you know, test, et cetera, which I think is part and parcel with that personalization journey that we were talking about.
When you look at some of the important technologies, what are some important technologies brands should be considering, Michael?
Sure. So, I mean, I think, you know, again, there's, you know, there's a variety of, you know, kind of a mix of both, you know, off the shelf solutions as well as, you know, as well as kind of custom development. So I think, you know, one of the questions is just figuring out which of those paths, you know, you want to be on based on, you know, based on kind of the size of the investment and the maturity that you're in. You know, mobile solutions, thinking about kind of integration of, you know, that omni-channel experience to kind of link together your, you know, your kind of mobile and in-store experience, I think is, you know, continued to be a challenge. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the places that we've seen, you know, people invest to try to make that a little bit more seamless from kind of the, you know, the customer experience.
Okay, excellent. When you look at AI, kind of the whole discussion around AI, how it can be used, the effective altruism versus effective acceleration, you know, how is EY looking at AI, that is?
Yeah, and I'm happy to take this one. You know, we are putting lots of time and resources, as most companies are these days, into AI, not just developing the capability, but trying to be thoughtful about how we approach AI, because it is so incredibly powerful. I mean, obviously, we believe that AI should be used in ways that have significant positive impact on the greatest number of people. So prioritizing AI research is something we think about with making sure that research has an aim to solve pressing issues. But we also believe that AI should be used to accelerate progress and societal change. So it really comes down to a balance. So what can that balance look like? First off, we think it's important to ensure that as AI accelerates, it doesn't come at the cost of ethical considerations or lead to negative consequences. That's a big statement. It's hard to deliver on that one. We think it's important to focus on transparency and being responsible with AI development. We also think these things can coexist together. So we think that using the principles of effective altruism, making sure that we're delivering the most good for the most people, to guide the direction that we take that acceleration, and trying to ensure that this rapid advancement with AI and all the associated technology serves to benefit humanity. So we think it's a balance, but not an easy one.
Okay. There's a great deal of focus on measuring efficacy of customer loyalty. We actually have been working with our advisory board on a loyalty metric study, which we feel can be will be quite needed and quite unique within the industry. You know, when you look at measuring efficacy of customer loyalty programs within the industry, you know, what are you seeing, Mike? What do you think the top three or four metrics brands should be focused on?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, it's going to vary a little bit by, you know, sector and business model, et cetera. But I think, you know, overall things like, you know, customer retention, right? You know, sales among kind of members versus non-members, right? You know, customer lifetime value. And I think, you know, as a lead into that, right, you can get some early signals with things like, you know, net promoter scores, you know, and kind of other feedback that gives you a sense around kind of, you know, customer satisfaction and affinity. I think all of those things are kind of incredibly, you know, incredibly positive. I mean, again, as we mentioned from kind of the consumer survey that we have, right, for people who, you know, join loyalty programs, we're seeing that flow through and kind of an increased affinity toward brands, right? Where, you know, 67% are more positive, you know, about the brands and start forming more of that, you know, more of that overall relationship. And I think that's kind of the, you know, the front end piece of measurement, et cetera. And then I think to some extent, what you really want to be able to do is do kind of those either difference in difference kind of analyses or ways to look at, okay, what are we seeing among people who, you know, sign up and more actively participate in the loyalty program versus those that don't? And then really start kind of, you know, teasing that through just in terms of buying behaviors, but also, you know, engagement, search behaviors, as well as some of the other things that we see is kind of active participation in the program, whether that's, you know, active posts, you know, Instagram mentions, and other kind of things that we pick up through social listening as well.
Okay. Are clients asking you for different metrics now than they may have in the past?
So I think the metrics are expanded, et cetera. And so I think to some degree there's a little bit more, you know, particularly as people start to get focused on, you know, kind of how do I do better attribution than I may have been able to do in the past. I think that's expanded the focus a little bit more.
Okay. When you look at the interest in rewards, it's definitely evolving, moving towards more personalized rewards, content, offers, special experiences, not just, as you mentioned, more that recency, frequency, or monetary spend. You know, what trends do you see within your clients, and then what are you know, their customers, their clients asking for?
Yeah, it's a great question. And this shift toward more personalized rewards is reflective really of a broader trend that we see in consumer behavior, where experiences are becoming more valued than material goods. And all of our research, this is especially true with millennials and Gen Z. They're just seeking more authenticity and personalization in their interaction with brands. So they prefer rewards that are more tailored to their unique preferences and life cycles. We see this as well with other cohorts. As an example, when we survey our late Gen Xers and young boomers, they want more access to higher tiers. They want something that showcases, you know, where they are in their life and how important they are to a brand. So it goes the gamut depending on the specific consumer segment, from our young folks that want more experiences to our more mature demographics that really want more of that recognition. That said, we shouldn't underestimate the value of just getting the basics right with loyalty program rewards and benefits. As I mentioned earlier in our research, we hear time and time again that discounts and sales and special offers are still incredibly important and drive value for members. So we have to be careful as professionals not to over-index on experiential surprise and delight. We've got to make sure that we're also meeting those table stakes of providing those discounts and cost savings. Incredibly important. You know, for brands, I think the challenge is to balance the scalability of their rewards program with the need for personalization, unique rewards, and all of those wonderful things that consumers want to ensure that they can provide experiences in a way that's cost effective, that makes sense for the business, and that is manageable.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much to both of you for sharing your unique perspective. It was great learning more about EY, some of the things that you're seeing in the market around customer loyalty. That's a very exciting time to be in the industry. So thank you very much for taking the time to share.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Patricia, now we have our quick fire questions. We'd like to have a one word response or a short phrase. So first off, what is your favorite word?
Serendipity. I love the way it sounds. I love what it means.
There you go. What's your least favorite word?
Bruh. I hear it all the time.
Ah, yeah. What excites you?
Thinking about culture in 50 years.
Okay. And what do you find tiresome?
Oh, business travel.
There you go. What profession other than the one you currently are in would you like to try?
Man, I'd love to be an artist.
Okay. Well, what book do you recommend to colleagues?
This is an easy one. Using Behavioral Science Marketing is one that I have all my folks read.
Okay. Who inspired you to be the person that you are today?
An amazing boss early in my career that hired me for a job I was not qualified for, but saw something in me and knew that I would work for it.
Okay. What do you typically think about at the end of the day?
What I can do to make a difference tomorrow.
Excellent. And how do you want to be remembered by your friends and family?
As someone that took the time to really understand people, I think that's important.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again for taking the time to talk to us. Looking forward to learning more from EY in the coming year. And thanks again for all you do for customer loyalty.
Thank you, team. Appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I look forward to having you back on another edition of our Loyalty Live sessions. Thank you again, and have a wonderful day.